iOS 6 released, 2 million iPhone 5s, 8 million predicted unboxing the iPhone 5. iPhone reviews are in, and a big week for iTunes movies. It's Wednesday, September 19th, 2012, and this is iWake. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of iWake. Today is the day. Today is Wednesday, the day that iOS 6 gets released to the masses. I've been using iOS 6 for about a month now on the betas, and I'm very excited that everyone gets their hands on it. The new Siri opening apps is quite awesome. Panorama mode for iPhone 4S users, the new Maps app, lots and lots of great things in iOS 6. I've been using it for a while, and it's out today, so you may be listening to it before it actually hits your iPhone or iPad, but it is out. iPad 1 customers won't get it, but pretty much everyone else will. 3GS owners, iPhone 4, iPhone 4S, and iPad 2 and 3 users will all get this. And it will be coming over the air from iOS 5, so if you're going from 5 to 6 over the air, no iTunes required. So very cool stuff there, and it's expected to come out sometime in the morning. So just be on the lookout with your OTA update there. Next up today, it's a little bit of financial news and just success news about Apple. So the first bit here is that Apple announced pre-orders topping 2 million in the first 24 hours. So here is their press release. Apple announced pre-orders of its iPhone 5 topped 2 million in just 24 hours, more than double the previous record of 1 million held by the 4S. Demand for iPhone 5 exceeds the initial supply, and while the majority of pre-orders will be delivered to customers on September 21st, many are scheduled to be delivered in October. Phil Schiller comments that iPhone 5 pre-orders have shattered the previous record held by the iPhone 4S. And the customer response to iPhone 5 has been phenomenal. iPhone 5 is the best iPhone yet, the most beautiful product we've ever made, and we hope customers love it as much as we do. So yeah, huge success here, double that of the last iPhone. And at this rate, you know, 4 million iPhones pre-ordered for the iPhone 5S. So it's just a growing and growing market, and the iPhone 5 is available in even more markets initially than previous phones. So this is definitely good news. Gene Munster, with this news, predicted around 8 million iPhones to be sold in its launch weekend. Here's Gene Munster. So given the 2 million pre-orders, we remain confident that Apple can deliver 8 million range of 6 to 10 million iPhones in the launch weekend. The reason we are confident the 8 million is twofold. First, initial 24-hour pre-orders for the iPhone 5 were up 100% year-over-year from the iPhone 4S. Last year, pre-orders accounted for 25% of total weekend launch unit sales. Assuming the sale initial pre-ordered retail distribution remains the same, the pre-order total would suggest 8 million launch units. So there you go. That is the analyst talk, and it's very logical, and we'll see if it comes true. I believe they will hit that mark, and I believe they will have the stock to sell those numbers. So with all the success in the iPhone and all the predictions that these analysts are doing with 8 million iPhones, what's the logical thing there? Well, the logical thing is that Apple's stock is going to skyrocket up to over 700, and it has. As closing hits on Tuesday night, it's now at $701.91. So if I bought stock when the iPhone was released, which was around $100, I would be pretty well off. I'm really sad I didn't do that. I'm really sad I didn't have money at all back then to do that. I really wish I had some investment money back then, because, man, it'd be very nice now to have done that. So over $700 in Apple stock right now. So with that said, Apple's got money. Apple's selling phones. Why not have more Apple stores? There are 5 new Apple stores opening this week in anticipation of this iPhone 5. What better time to launch a store than to launch it with a new phone? So we've got 5 stores, with one of them being in the States. The first is in the Rio Shopping Store in forgive me my pronunciation here, but the first one's in Spain, Valladolid, Spain. That's Valladolid. The second one, another hard-to-pronounce word, Sindelfingen, outside of Stockoff, Stuttgart, Germany. So that's the second one. And another pronunciation baffling one next in France, La Tosson-d'Or-Dijon, France. And now we've got the fourth store launching in Bakersfield, California, in Valley Plaza. Finally, an easy one to pronounce. And finally, another store in Italy. It's Il Lino store in Lenotto, Italy. So that's five stores opening this week, and it would be a fun place to get your iPhone 5 as they're brand new stores, and launching of a new store is always a fun thing for sure. So with all that said, we've got some app news today. The first bit is about Twitter for iPad. They've unveiled and released Twitter 5.0 for iOS. Now, what is this update? Well, it's an update for the iPad, and it's an update that many are conflicted about. So here is what's been updated. They've added additional support for tweets with images and video embeds, as well as support to view photos, videos, and links from the web full screen within the browser, within the app. So according to Twitter, this is their wording of all this. Tweets come alive in the new Twitter for iPad. Expand tweets with a single touch to see beautiful photos, rich videos, and web page summaries right in your timeline. Dive into the content with another tap to see the photo, play the video, or read links from the web in full screen mode. So here's the thing. I really loved the old interface to Twitter for iPad. It was fantastic. You had all these special gestures you can do, and I really thought and really feel that it's a great app that I'm happy with. Now, this new update, I'm really concerned it's going to wreck my awesome Twitter for iPad app. I think it's inevitable that I do update, but I am worried about doing that. So I would caution you in updating. If you like the old Twitter for iPad, this will be a radically different experience, an experience you might not like as much. I'm staying cautious with this update, and I'm actually afraid to update. The good thing here is both iPhone and iPad users are getting this new header images for user profiles that's similar to Facebook's cover photo, and will be displayed above tweets on iPad, mobile apps, and Twitter.com. So we're getting a new profile image, and that's the one thing I'm rather excited about, because who doesn't like big widescreen photos? So another app news comes from 9 to 5 Mac. They point out a couple of cool app updates. The first is for Amazon Cloud Player. The big news here is it's available in a couple new countries, United Kingdom, Germany, and France. And they're also introducing a language support for French and German. So very cool there. The other app thing of note is DirecTV. The iPhone app got updated today with a lot of new features, including content baked into this app for HBO Go, or just HBO in general, I should say, Cinemax, Stars, and Encore, plus the latest DirecTV cinema movies. Also included is the ability to watch live TV channels from within your home, view recently watched programs, and improve search and discovery features. So some great updates today, and those were just a couple of them. Now let's move on to the iPhone 5 news. There's quite a bit of it as the embargo has lifted for those reviewers that got their phones. But the curious thing is the iPhone 4 is going to be online only for Sprint fairly soon. So here's their wording. iPhone 4 will become a web-only device effective on September 21st. We will certainly still be selling it. So if you want to just wander into a Sprint store and get your free iPhone 4, that won't happen if you're on Sprint. You'll need to order online. I think this is a bad move by Sprint, as I think they would sell a lot more phones this way. Perhaps they're trying to push people to the $99 or $200 iPhone models. But yeah, it's kind of just a weird thing that's going on here. Next up is some unboxing photos of the iPhone 5. So the thing to note here is you get three things besides the iPhone. You get the power charger, you get the lightning plug, and you get the EarPods. Now, the really cool thing to note is that EarPods come exactly as they do in the retail stores. You get the carrying case, you get all of the same packaging you do if you bought it outright. So there's no downgrade. Like traditionally, when you get the earphones in the past, they're in this little plastic wraparound that you lose instantly, and it's just not a good situation. These appear to be a much better packaging. I'll be curious if the new iPods get the same packaging as an iPod Nano is quite smaller, so I'll be curious how they approach that. I've not seen the AirPods in person, so it may be a smaller package than I'm aware of. Now onto the big, big news of the day, and that is, what do people think about the new iPhone 5? So the initial reviews are in, and one thing I found odd is Macworld didn't get blessed by Apple. They did not get an embargoed review. They did not get an iPhone in early. They will be buying it with the rest of us on Friday. So here we go. CNET's review. The screen size lengthening is subtle, but like the Retina display, you're going to have a hard time going back once you've used it. Still pictures taken while recording video aren't shot using the normal 8-megapixel web camera. They're screen captures of the video itself. The aspect ratio is different, and the image quality is a bit weaker. So it's not going to do that thing that we thought it would do, which would take pictures while recording video. Now, it may be semantics, but they do have a point here. They are screenshots, kind of still frames from the video. Battery life, they noted, was pretty good. Unplugging around 8 a.m. and engaging in a mix of calling, web surfing, video playback, downloading, game playing, FaceTime over Wi-Fi and LTE, and even a little 4G LTE hotspot, you said the MacBook Air, lasted pretty much the whole day. So good battery life there, and that's noted elsewhere as well. The Loop, Jim Dalrymple notes, if you told me that I would be able to see another few rows of emails or more of a web page, I don't know that I would see the importance, but when you look at the iPhone 5, it's more than just that. You have to see it to get an idea of what can be done. So yeah, you have to hold it in your hands to really get what this phone's about. David Pogue of the New York Times says the new phone in all black or white is beautiful, especially the black one, whose gleaming black and black glass and aluminum body carries the design cues of a stealth bomber. The camera is among the best ever put into the phone. Its low light shots blow away its same efforts from an iPhone 4S. That is really key and really cool to hear, because low light is kind of the holy grail, so to speak, of camera photography. That's one thing I struggle with, and it's really good to hear they're improving there. And Gadget reviews by Tim Stevens. At 112 grams, it's 20% lighter than the 4S, a figure that doesn't seem like it would make much of an impact. It does so much so that its lightness, not the bigger display or the thinness, that nearly everyone praises when first getting a chance to hold the iPhone in their hands. So he's saying lightness, the lightness of the phone, is the biggest selling feature of this device. It's not the big screen or the thinness, it's lightness. Meanwhile, the Lightning connector is infinitely easier to connect. It slots in nicely and does so regardless of orientation, plugging in right side up or upside down. More problematic, though, of the new connector is speed. It's based on USB 2, no faster than any existing cable you use today. On their battery rundown test, they ran a loop of video with LTE and Wi-Fi enabled and social accounts pinging at regular intervals. The iPhone 5 managed to last 11 hours and 15 minutes. That's not too shabby at all. Closing out the reviews, we got two more here. Wall Street Journal by Walt Mossberg. I found the new iPhone screen much easier to hold and manipulate than its larger rivals and preferred it. In my view, Apple's approach makes the phone far more comfortable to use, especially one-handed. Battery life commented once again as being quite awesome. Lasted between 9 and 12 hours every day in mixed use. For most people, the phone would last the day without recharging. That is significant, as I have to recharge my iPhone 4S pretty much all day long. TechCrunch by MG Siegler has this kind of interesting note. One nice side effect of the letterboxing is that the iOS system elements can still use the larger screen. So for example, when push notifications come in, they flip down from the top of the screen and settle perfectly above the 3.5-inch app, as opposed to on top of it. So that is a nice side effect, and something many didn't really consider. So those are the reviews, and they're great reviews. The iPhone 5 looks to be an impressive upgrade from the 4, and a nice upgrade from the 4S. But as I've noted before, the 4S does everything the iPhone 5 does. It really does. You lose screen size, but the OS itself is not limited in any way to 4S users. So I would encourage saving your money and waiting a year. That's my two cents there. I will be getting the iPod Nano and possibly an iPod Touch. I have a way to get a 25% discount through an Apple employee and may be doing that. So stay tuned as I get my hands on those. But anyways, success and a great phone. So looking forward to get my hands on one to just play around with it, but I will not be buying one this time around. Closing out the show, I've got just some thoughts on iTunes movies stuff. So yesterday was a big day when Prometheus hit the iTunes store as something you could buy. Now, I pre-ordered this, and something to note, I've never pre-ordered anything in iTunes. This was the very first time I've done any kind of pre-ordering. And it was a good experience, I have to say. So when you pre-order something in iTunes, I noticed my iPad, it had a little thing swipe to cancel my order in the iTunes store app. It was in the downloads area, very elegant there. And I got an email around 9 o'clock, it was actually around 6 o'clock, I should say, that Prometheus was ready to download. So, you know, I loaded up iTunes. There in my Mac, I could, you know, download the HD, SD, and iTunes Extra. It downloaded. I was watching the movie by around 8 or 9 o'clock, and it was a great experience. I got to say, the iTunes Extra stuff was really fantastic. What we saw there was the very first director's commentary and an iTunes release. Now, something odd to note here is it appeared that a separate version of the movie was downloaded for just the director's commentary. That this director's commentary did not appear in the list of audio tracks, but instead, when you do this, when you turn it on, it appears a separate video with no subtitling options and just the video with the director's commentary. No options to switch on and off, hot flying. So kind of interesting how they're doing that. The lead scenes and alternate takes were good to see, and I was very, very excited to see this released. A great move by Fox here, $5 off the $20 price tag, and they released it early. So great news there. Meanwhile, something happened, right? There was this big bug that said iTunes in the cloud is not supported for this movie. Now, this first appeared in my eye for Prometheus. I then checked Alien. I then checked X-Men. It appeared to be a Fox issue that they seemingly pulled iTunes in the cloud support. And then I checked Brave, a Pixar movie, and it also had this message. Then I checked every other movie in the store. I checked a lot of movies, and they all had this message. And you know what? That message was a bug. And that message has now left the store some 24 hours later. So I was very worried, as I'm a big fan of iTunes the Cloud, and that's what I have to have if I'm going to buy a movie there. And I kind of chanced it. I bought the new Alien Director's Cut with iTunes Extras as well yesterday. And you know what? I noticed it had that warning, but it still appeared in my iTunes the Cloud. So this was obviously a bug, and they've since pulled that. So not a huge story, just something that, you know, every so often Apple slips up with weird quirks in the store. I noticed once that they advertised a price of $10 for a movie where it was still priced at $15. They do have some quirks, and that was just one of them. I should note the Alien stuff is kind of interesting. So meanwhile, they, with Prometheus being released, Fox yet again did some Alien updates here. So we have iTunes extras with tons and tons of bonus content. I own the DVDs and the Blu-rays, and much of that content appears in this download. The iTunes Extra download is around 6.5 gigs, and that is significant. Lots of video content there. Sadly, no director's commentary, but it is a solid update to the Alien release in HD for $15 with all that extra content. Something to note, Aliens is now gone. I'm hoping they're revamping it with these iTunes extras, and it'll be back pretty soon when the Blu-ray hits shelves, something like that. I'm hoping that's what they're doing, and I hope they redo Alien 3 and 4 with those same iTunes extras with new content there. But besides that, we now have HD versions of Alien 3 and 4 for purchase at $15 and $17, depending on which one you get, and the original director or Alien theatrical cut is also available HD, but no iTunes extras. So some cool stuff there going on. And just overall, it's been an exciting week for iTunes. Besides all the alien things going on, we now have the Indiana Jones bundle. For the longest time, Indiana Jones was just simply not available in the iTunes store. The Blu-ray hit shelves, and that means iTunes came out. All four of these films, it's bundled as one for $60 in HD, $50, $60 in HD, $50 in SD. And something to note here is that they all have iTunes extras, and it seems to be really great value here with all this extra content in there and it being remastered, all that kind of stuff. But it's so good to see movies that were once not in iTunes make it there. We're going to see E.T. land in the iTunes store later this month, it being October, and the DVD coming, Blu-ray coming out. And I'm just hoping Star Wars makes it in there at some point in the future. And Schindler's List. There's lots of movies that aren't in there yet, and it's encouraging to see these movies now appear. And it appears more and more are coming. So that's all I've got to say about iTunes and iTunes Cloud for today. Exciting week for iTunes customers, for sure. So with that said, thank you for watching. Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. You can watch video versions of the show at youtube.com/TCHATEN. Show notes are available at iwakepodcast.com. And finally, if you'd like to access the script as well as bonus content, you can head on over to iwakepodcast.com/again. That's where I do this extra bonus thing, $10 a month, for extra content and things like that. So it's called iWake Again, and I'd encourage you to check it out. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for listening or watching. I'll be back tomorrow for another edition of iWake. So have a good time updating your iPhone to iOS 6, and have a great evening, a great day. And I'll talk to you guys again real soon. Aloha.